Well, I thought it was time to get the old tape recorder out again and send home another letter from the waterfront. You're not going to be receiving any written letters from me for a while because I received my first war wound. Too bad it was self-inflicted. I won't get any Purple Hearts out of it. I was pounding on a metal stake out of my firing range. And as my final blow, as I came down, I missed with the hammer and I ripped the skin off top of the first joint on my right index hand. I just ripped it all along the side of the stake there. So it bleeding pretty bad. I decided I'd better go up to dispensary, have them take a look at it. They scrubbed it up and told me I was going to have some stitches. Oh joy. You know, nothing like a little pain. But they gave me three needles full of painkiller right in that joint, and it's all got all cold and stiff. Never even felt anything. It's pretty groovy getting stitches without any pain. Got three stitches all together there. It's not exactly the way I imagined stitches were to be put in, but I guess it works. Now I guess I'll have to have them take them out one of these days. I go back every day and have them change the bandages on it. But seeing as how it's the right index finger, it's also what I use for writing, so I said maybe I ought to send home a tape. Things around here keep happening. Last Saturday, which would be, let's see, I guess, about the 13th or so, I got a couple hours flight time in. Flight personnel getting pretty scarce around. We've had a lot of guys deroast. That's when you go home after your year. And they're just having nobody's been coming in to replace them. We've been getting maintenance personnel, but no flight people. So they had me flying gunner. And we were going to go out and there's big CA plans, combat assault. We're going to, our ship plus about four others, are going to airlift in 10 companies of Koreans around this one mountain where they had a sizable amount of Charlies up there. The Air Force has been pounding up for the previous couple of days, and this is going to be the big thing. We're going to go in, well, just like in the movies, you know, troops and have gunships and jets coming in, blowing up the place and that. But it was raining all day Saturday, so they called it off. And in the afternoon, we were going to airlift 300 Koreans or someplace or other, but that got called off, too. Instead, they had us go down to Phu Hip and pick up our first sergeant and a couple other guys that were down there for a change of ceremony. Phu Hip's our battalion headquarters. It's pretty interesting, because when I came up through Phu Hip before, I didn't realize how big that place was. I wasn't looking out the windows or anything, but Phu Hip is big. It's right next to Tui Wah Air Force Base. And the combined two, they just stretch for miles. It's just, the place is big. I don't know how much. They must have better than a 700-man perimeter defense down there. As we came over Tui Wah, we low-leveled across the runway so we wouldn't get mixed up with any of the air traffic above. I thought we were down low, but then I saw this Phantom fighter landing underneath us, so kind of scared the heck out of me, because you're supposed to be calling out these positions to the pilots, you know, and you say, there's a jet, so it goes zipping by, you can't even call out where it is. Even yesterday, we had a O-line sign here, we scored it first, we actually had somebody snipe at us, we had some guys working down in the perimeter, and glory be if a few rounds didn't start coming in, and not only that, but they actually saw this guy get up and run, which is quite unusual for snipers, because usually you never get to see where they are. And if we would have had a tower guard out there with a machine gun, but he wasn't on the ball, so they missed him. It would have been an easy kill. We have a new CO, the old one, Major Van Boer. He left. He was the fellow that got this Distinguished Flying Cross and Bronze Star in this farce of a ceremony. I tell you, I've never seen such a bunch of nauseated troops out in formation before. Our new CO is also a major. This is Major Stone. This guy seems pretty good. He's been down here a lot. I'm getting to know him. The old major, Major Van, he never come down here. The only time he was ever in my shop is when during these two inspections. For all he knew, he probably didn't even know this place existed until somebody showed him where it was. But this guy, we've been hitting it off pretty good. He's tough, though. Well, he's been raising the deuce with a lot of guys. He doesn't like tailored fatigues at all, and when he catches you with him, makes you pay $6.50 a piece for him. Caught one guy, made him pay $26 for fatigues. said other guys, threatening to throw them out of the company because of mustaches and that. So everybody will have to shave their mustaches that has them. He's been down here, seems impressed with the place. I gave him my $2 tour of the place free. And he's been sending out a couple guys now to learn how to fire M60s. We just go out back on my range here and fire. I even got it hooked up now so I can shoot M16s out here. Got a fixed bench rest for M16s. This noise you hear in the background is a helicopter about 100 feet outside my door. Just down on the line. They're running up the APU. That's the auxiliary power unit. Supplies hydraulic pressure to the ship before they start the engines. In my letter, I told you that we were authorized 16 hooks at this place. Well, what happens is, after 1,800 hours, we turn them into the 79th, which is our direct support unit down at Quinion. They take these things all apart and send them back to the world, where they get completely rebuilt. They just about rip everything out. Well, what happens when we turn in a ship then, we're supposed to get a new one. But if they don't have any ships to give you, well, then you're just short one ship. Well, right now we're down to 13 ships we've turned in, and we've got two more that are real short on ours. One's only got about 50 hours left, and another one I think has about, another one's only got 3 hours left on it, in fact. Now, they just found a ship yesterday. They got it in for maintenance. The engine mounts on the number two engine are real loose and sloppy, and since these are part of the airframe, they're not going to be able to repair them probably, so they're trying to talk, and they're turning the ship in early. It's got another 300 hours on it, but as long as it's got these engine mounts all worn like this, it's not going to be much good. Maintenance is performed every 25 hours flight time on these ships. They have what's known as an intermediate. That's just all little maintenance, changing oil, tightening bolts. And then every 100 hours it goes into PE, which is... They really do it. They pull the blades off the ship, replace engines, transmissions. Takes about 2 or 3 weeks for it to come out of PE. An intermediate they can do overnight. Oh, by the way, I might as well tell you this. When they pull these blades off, and then when they put them back on, they're out of track. They got to track them again. I've got pictures of this. I'm doing this. When you put your blades on, and you crank the ship up and get it running. You want it so your blades are hitting at exact height. Not one blade is circling 3 feet above another blade. You want them all the same level. So what they got to do is there's linkage on each blade that they can adjust. So they start the blades turning, and they have this big metal pole with masking tape on it. And at the end of each blade tip, they put a little piece of colored pencil. Just rub a little on the end of the blade. Each blade has a different color. And then they bring this pole right just a little bit against the tip of the blades as they're turning. So you just get a little mark on this masking tape. And you can see if all three blades are hitting within an eighth inch of each other, well, then you got a good track. But if you don't, well, then you got to stop the ship, get up there, readjust your linkage, and start all over again. Now the hard part about this is the prop wash from these ships is so terrific. The wind being thrown off from these blades, it's just darn hard to inch this pole in the blades. You just gotta touch it. If you put it too far in, well, that blade will just smash that masking tape. And I know if I'd be doing it, that pole would probably go sailing up in these mountains here somewhere. You see this? I got pictures of them doing the whole complete thing. This prop wash. I tell you, Charlie doesn't have to attack these fire bases. One hook goes in and we just about destroy the whole thing. Because over here, that dirt, especially in summer now, it's going to get about 6-8 inches deep. Just loose dust in that. And you go in, this prop wash throws just stuff all over the place. When we were flying west to play cool, we were flying out of an airstrip called Polyquine. We were going in there. I've got pictures of this. There's troops all over the airstrip. We were just picking up sling loads that day. And then you see M16s go flying down the flight line and packs and sea rations. So one time we were coming into a camp. I saw this big heavy wooden pallet get picked up by the prop wash, and it went sailing end over end, and it hit this soldier right in the small of the back, flattened him right out on the ground. As you go in there too, there's all this junk flying around where you set all the chip flares off on the perimeter, and guys' shirts and that are laying around, and it all goes flying. And what's really bad is if you don't have a shirt on, all these stones that hit you, and you just feel like you're getting ripped apart. Just around here when the ships take off in the morning, if you happen to be out there without your shirt on, well, you're in for a heck of a time. We had some ships step at NK here the other night. They're on a CS mission. They had a whole canisters of CS riot gas in the ships, and they'd be going over this jungle area. They're dropping from 1,200 feet. Just pull a pin, and supposedly after eight seconds, these canisters will go off in the air. They're having trouble with them. They're blowing up as soon as they got out of the ship. The whole crew has had their gas masks along, but the guy told them they didn't have to wear them. They have an engineer come along and supervise this thing, because there'd be no danger. One of these shit things blew right up in the ship, and this is just a mad scramble for those windows. I mean, you kind of get the idea of what it was like, these people getting gassed in World War II in these gas chambers, a fight for the windows. Guys hanging out there, crying. The CS gas just kind of jerks the tears right out of your head. The soundproofing is the matting that's on the inside of the ship. When they came back, they scrubbed it out with solvent. These things have been hanging out here in the wind for 2 weeks yet, and you can still smell that CS gas in it. I don't know if you're ever going to get that junk out of there. It's bad stuff. Another thing that's equally hard to get out of these ships is if they've been hauling KIAs, guys that have been killed in action. We don't pull that too often, which is, well, first of all, it's nauseating duty, but the smell, you just can't get out of these ships. It just gets up and kind of clings on to everything. The soundproofing, the seats, all the metal parts. It's a big reason they hate carrying these. Usually, if they got to carry them, they'll try and carry them in a sling load underneath the ship. We had some of the stupider deaths recorded here. The 129th, that's the gunship company. They had two ships up flying down by Miami Beach. Miami Beach is a stretch of beach a few miles south of here. And every now and then we have some hooks go in there. We just land on the beach and take off your clothes and go swimming in the ocean. And just get dressed again and take off. Well, anyway, there's a bridge down there. And one Huey pilot is in a brand new ship, only 10 days old. Told the other pilot to take a picture of him as he went underneath this bridge. The guy went under the bridge, but unfortunately it was about 18 inches high. And they crashed. The co-pilot and the gunner were burned to death. The crew chief goes throwing clear the whole thing, didn't receive any injuries. And the pilot of the ship, his legs are so smashed up that they figure they might have to amputate him, plus he's badly burned. It's a bad way to go or something that stupid. Now a bit about the working conditions here. Well, I got my shop pretty well fixed up here. I can't think of anything more to do, so I just kind of been loafing around the last couple days. My correspondence course hasn't come through yet. Kunyan didn't have it in stock, so they got it sent back to the world for it. They figured it'd take about 3 weeks. I put in another set of troop seats here. It's kind of for guest sleeping accommodations during the day. Sometimes you have a lot of guys in here trying to escape from the lifers, and they just come in here and sleep. Gets pretty crowded and looks kind of bad, guys sleeping on the floor. My mule is running pretty good now. I haven't had any trouble with it lately. Little problem with the plugs falling. But this thing is, it reminds you just as of my Suzuki. It smokes a lot. Every now and then it just goes into a fit and smokes and smokes and smokes. Burns oil about as much as it does gasoline. But you can't be picky about little things like this. It's getting me have quite a name for myself now too. Now it may not look like work running around on this thing, but at least the lifers know I'm around. They see me out there. And this major has really been impressed by that somebody would go out and get these guns off these ships. What I do is when I hear a ship land, I just run outside, start up my mule. It's got a pull start. There's a pulley on the engine. You wrap a rope around it and pull. Go out there, circle around your rear, pop along your right-hand door, take the guns, and then take off again. And usually most of this is being done, the blades are still turning on this. Now if I get out there late and the blades have stopped, well then I usually give the pilots a ride in. There's supposed to be a jeep from operations that goes out there and gets these pilots, but operations kind of mixed up. They only get out there about a quarter of the time. So the pilots like to ride in, especially the older ones. I got a bunch of pictures now with Guns Putt-Putt here, showing me out back of the shop, scrambling around through the dirt and the bushes. The only problem, well, the one real problem I've had with it, they got leaky inner tubes on it. Now these tires are the same tires that come off our hooks. But because this is an unauthorized vehicle, well, you just can't order tubes in there from Tech Supply, because it's not a ship. This vehicle, by the way, is unauthorized. Our company's not supposed to have them, but some guys in the past went down to Futai salvage yard and got them out of the dump. And then they got them, they threw them away.